You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's good to have achieved that.
It is, it is.
Yeah, sure.
We'll mostly be talking about COVID, but I would like to sort of just recap how it all happened last night. Yeah. I know that there was some negative comments made by Greg O'Connor, for example. So what did it look like last night? Was it a close margin?
Yeah, it was close. I sort of picked that as we went through the different stages of the House, the votes were falling on our side in terms of support for it, and particularly through the committee stage, which was the really intense stage last weekend, Tuesday and Wednesday morning of this week. You could tell that the votes were under pressure, and I think that was a product of the scare campaign that was being run by the anti-abortionists.
Okay, let's move to the fact that the coalition government has announced a stimulus package this week. Globally, coronavirus has highlighted ways in which many wages and employment rights fall short of providing people with adequate safety nets. And Minister Robertson's package announcement shows that your party does acknowledge that this is true for New Zealand. But I wonder, what about after COVID-19? Do you think this will change how Labour drafts policy and treats those who are not wealthy?
You know, I think it's an event like this that's going to cause everybody to rethink just how we approach a whole heap of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in business and when it comes to structure of work, the way people work and incomes, we're going to rethink this because this is a shock to the world economy, to ours as well, and we've fallen back on what we know. So people lose jobs, we provide top-up payments and income support and all the rest of it, but you know, you've got to say, in this day and age, the chance of this happening again is probably, you know, not remote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, it's really challenged the way we live in our communities as well. We're used to sort of close contact, a lot of things happening, mass this, mass that. And that has its own risks. So I think in the years to follow, there will be a lot of rethinking about how we even live our lives and structure ourselves.
Right. Now, recently, Statistics New Zealand released data that showed there was no significant change in child poverty since 2017. And Jackie Clark of the Aunties told me at the time that failure to significantly increase benefits is a big reason for that. I wonder why it took a pandemic for this government to significantly increase benefits and subsidies.
Yeah, I think it's slightly unfair. I think we had the Welfare Expert Advisory Group doing their work. They did their report. We got that last year. And work has been going on about how we start to address the recommendations that they made, including lifting benefit levels. Because, you do things from one budget to the next, the budget that's announced in May, the work for that starts in December of the year before, so there's a long lag time. So we get a report in the middle of last year. We're not going to start the work in terms of getting anything up for the budget until the end of the year, ready for something this year. So that work was underway, but in any event, we could see that not only was a large number more people going to go on the benefit, but you know, benefit levels have been inadequate, and we know that those on a benefit tend to spend what they've got. That's a great means of economic stimulus for the recovery, and it made sense to introduce an increase in benefit levels sooner rather than later.
Some renters have reported no compassion from their landlords and payment deadlines during the outbreak of COVID. The package didn't have any mention of a moratorium on rent. Do you think that's something that you'll consider? Is that something on the books at all or of a concern?
We don't. There's no power that we've got in any act anywhere that allows us to impose a rent freeze.
Okay.
Or a moratorium. So we don't have that up our sleeves to use. Obviously, we were conscious that if we do things like increase benefit levels, provide wage subsidies, there's always the possibility that some landlords will see an opportunity and hike rents and, you know, they get the benefit of it. We haven't seen that happening so far. I think if we did see that happening, then that would be enough to prompt us to do something a little more severe to give ourselves the power to make sure that, you know, landlords aren't just being opportunistic.
Right.
But we're not at that point yet, and there's a lot of seeing what works over the next few months, I think, in relation to a lot of the measures that we're taking.
Mm. How is COVID-19 affecting prisoners? They're sort of isolated anyway, but is there any new kind of social distancing rules taking place in prisons at the moment?
Yeah, I think that, prisons, our prisons tend to have reasonably large numbers, and there are activities that happen together, like their meals and things like that. So I think what we'll start to see is the prisons staggering meal times for different groups of prisoners, so they can have more distance between them. I think there will be issues with visiting. You know, you obviously you want to maintain family visits and visits from people from outside, but I think, you know, precautions will be taken to make sure that that people are safe. And then, obviously, you know, prisoners have got to be able to have access to their lawyers and legal advice, but I think we may well see some precautions being taken to make sure that the visits go ahead, but the risk of transmission is minimised.
Moving on, I read a report that the re-entry cost for Pike River has increased again. I thought I'd check in light of the stimulus package. On Tuesday, you did say that you remain committed to the recovery and forensic examination of the Pike River mine. Will that change?
No, we made that decision knowing that the, you know, we're putting the stimulus package together, and actually the extra money for Pike, it's roughly nearly $11 million plus a nearly $5 million contingency. I mean, that appears insignificant compared to the package for COVID. But the reality is, you know, there's 25 odd jobs on the West Coast that the Pike River Recovery Agency supports. If we just said, well, that's it, we've exhausted the budget, we're stopping now, and we haven't completed the project, we not only haven't fulfilled that commitment to the families, but then you're putting a whole bunch of people in a very tight job market in one place in New Zealand. So I think, look, I think it is the right thing to do to see the project through. We have been very clear with the families. Once we exhaust this and we, you know, we get to the end of the drift and we've completed that stuff, that's it. We won't be going to the mine workings. The project is more expensive than I would have liked, but we also knew that there was a bit of a touch and feel sort of aspect to this, and find out as we go. And we have done. There were things that we didn't anticipate that have cost, you know, more than we thought.
Right. Just to finish, I saw last night that after the abortion vote went through, you were still in the House for the Electoral Registration of Sentenced Prisoners Bill?
That's right, yeah.
What's that bill?
So this reinstates prisoner voting for those for prisoners sentenced to a prison sentence of 3 years or less. It basically takes us back to the status quo it was in 2010 when the then National Government changed the law to not only prevent all prisoners from voting, but actually take them off the roll. And what we've seen, what the Waitangi Tribunal found when they looked at it last year, is that what that effectively means is that those prisoners never get back on the roll.
Yeah.
And that has a disproportionate impact on Māori. It's a voter suppression thing, and it's insidious, it's unnecessary. We've proceeded on the principle that if at the time of election you're on a sentence of less than 3 years, you're going to be out before the next election. You ought to have a right to have a say on who's leading the country that you're going to be released into. So that's why, you know, all parties in government have agreed to reinstate things as they were in 2010.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.